Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. I think I've done great things, but I don't think I've, I and my people, I don't think we've explained it well enough to the American public. I think I get an A in terms of what I've actually done, but in terms of messaging, I'd give myself a C or a C plus.
All right, how are you going to change that then?
Well, maybe I change it during the speech.
Maybe I don't change it. What do you think of them apples? Ha! Goodness me, that's Trump today grading himself on what he's giving himself, an A-ish. Look, fairness, he gave himself a C. That's probably the hardest thing. To me, Trump comes across, you remember Fonzie, right? He was the pedophile that lived above the Cunningham's house. Chad, that's rude. Fonzie was not a, yes, he was. He was a 45-year-old man living in the Happy Days times who was dating high school girls. That, correct me if I'm wrong, Producer Phil, was that kind of pedophile-ish? He was a pedo bear?
I thought he went to school with all of them.
Yeah, he went to night school. Then he got to teach them. Then he slept with them. So it's like he lived in modern times, but back in the olden days. There you go. But Fonzie always had trouble saying, I'm sorry. Trump giving himself a C was like that. They probably was coaching going on. We got to coach him to teach him how to say the word C. Is there something better than an A? Well, I'm giving myself that. He's the kind of guy that's like, I know it only goes to 10, but I got an 11. Just letting you guys know that. He worked hard. He's pushed some stuff out there. There's a lot of stuff still to be had here. And I'm giving him crap, but I'm excited. Tonight he's going to speak. He's speaking about 2 hours. He's going to go out there. He's going to speak to a joint session. How good will it be or won't it be? I don't know. The emotion overrides a lot of it. And some people are great performers on stage. Obama gave a great speech. Reagan knew how to give a speech, right? There are certain people out there that can deliver speeches. He's about action. He's not a speech maker. Tonight's going to be interesting. He is going to talk about moving forward, not the past, because he's not been in there long enough to have a State of the Union where you talk about the past year. This is all about forward thinking, and there's going to be a lot of things, a ton of stuff that he's going to be talking about. Immigration is going to be big. And now he is saying, look, the time is right for a bill. And I'm open to considering possible legal status for some undocumented immigrants. So think about that for a second. He knows that both sides are weakened by this, and the strength is there for him to do something. Plus, he's got the Dems, he thinks, in some ways, on the rope. And a new Rasmussen poll says almost 70% of likely voters believe that they need to work with him. Democrats need to work with him and not be obstructionists, but actually come in and work with them and the Republicans. So we'll see what happens. But tonight is going to be one of those things where they're going to bring out the dreamers, and I'm sure he'll say some stuff that'll get people clapping, even on the left side. But also on the other side, the Republicans are going to have people in the audience whose families, members were killed by people that are here illegally. And the sad thing is both sides of these people are being used as a political pawn, which I think is crap. And now we're hearing Nancy Pelosi and them are all wearing white because of the suffrage movement. The suffrage movement. Really? Really? Speaking of that, today, and this is the perfect example. Nancy Pelosi and all the women on the Democratic side are going to be wearing white tonight to this thing in some show of force. This is what Trump was doing today in the White House with women there. And no, he was not grabbing their...
I'm signing two bills to promote women entering and leading the STEM field, science, technology, engineering, and math.
Oh, so he's signing stuff that's pushing women into the science field and things like that. It's not just there. He's also going out there and trying to promote entrepreneurship amongst women.
The Promoting Women in Entrepreneurship Act enables the National Science Foundation to support women inventors, researchers, and scientists in bringing their discoveries to the business world.
Boom. Entrepreneurs, women. You're going to wear all white tonight? That's what you're going to do? Trump, hit me with a little bit more, baby.
The Inspire Women Act ensures that the existing NASA programs recruit women to STEM-related jobs and aerospace careers.
Great. Absolutely fantastic. 110% great. But they're going to wear this tonight. This is the stuff that drives me crazy. You're a civil servant. I didn't like when the obstructionist came from the right side of the aisle, and I sure in the hell don't like it that it's coming from the left. And by the way, you have very little power in this. So you can either get on board and try to figure out a way of how to be somebody who wants to be part of a solution rather than trying to stop everything, which is the problem we have in D.C. You've got a chance tonight to go there, and you've got a chance, and this is something I think they need to understand. You have a chance to negotiate and work with a president that is not an ideologue. He may have an R by his name, but he is not an ideologue. He is not a uber Christian conservative. His thing is he wants to bring jobs back to this country. He wants to fix an antiquated and outdated tax system. He wants to bust down regulations to the point where that businesses can function without being suffocated. He has all of these things in front of him that he wants to do. He wants to do so many things. And you have a person that's not an ideologue, that doesn't lead by the R, leads by instinct and thought process and what's best for other people. You got a chance to do something, and you want to turn that down? You want to fight him because you don't like the way he thinks about certain things, which, quite frankly, he doesn't think about 90% of this crap when it comes to the Planned Parenthood and all of these things. You can sit there. His running mate, his second in charge, absolutely. He leads that way first. I don't buy it with Trump. I don't buy it at all with Trump. I think Trump is a guy who is looking to bring jobs back to this country, fix these bad regulation systems, sort out immigration. He's looking at a bigger picture for the American people, not just the ones with the R's or the D's by their names, but the ones who are Americans. Us, you, me, individuals. That's what he is looking for. Tonight, great opportunity for him to stand up there. And while he's speaking to them and at them, the truth is it will whisk by them like a rocket ship and fly through the cameras into your living rooms, into your radios, into your computers, and he's going to be talking to you because that's what he wants to do. He has issues within his own party who are frustrated with him. He wants to do what's right for America. I strongly believe that. I will bust his balls when it comes to some of the craziness that goes on out there and some of the weird things that he says and some of the things that he does and some of the things that he and his administration talk about where I think, why are you arguing with the media or why are you saying it's the biggest crowd in the history of crowds? Why are you doing those things? Those things don't matter. But when you ask me, do I think he cares about America? Yes. Do I think he wants a bigger picture that the Democrats aren't really grasping? Absolutely. That the Republicans don't get? 100%. And you've got a chance to work with somebody who's not an ideologue. How great is that? But you don't want to do it because you feel he's bad. Because a billionaire grabbed a girl's hoo-ha, or at least said he did with Billy Bush. Because he said things that you deemed in your mind as being extremely racist. He said things that you deemed in his mind has ginned up the white nationalist movement, and he is on his way to building ovens and throwing people in concentration camps. That is BS. Once again, this is why you failed. Because you're focusing on things that do not matter to the average person in America who is trying to survive day by day, inch by inch, paycheck by paycheck, penny by penny. Absolutely. So keep playing gender politics. Wear your white. Bring your dreamers. But you've got a guy with an open door that's willing to sit down and negotiate and talk, that's willing to... to do these things that other presidents probably wouldn't have the stomach or the want politically to do. And you're so hyper-focused on things that if you ask the person who's a union pipe fitter in Ohio, if you ask the person in Ohio who's working two jobs just to keep food and lights on in the house, if you ask that person who's a struggling single mom right now, what's important, it ain't those identity politics. It ain't that crap that you think. It isn't wearing white because of the suffrage movement. It's jobs, economy, jobs, safety, jobs. You get the picture. Speaking of safety, thousands of people like you and you and you and you and you and you and me, we get ripped off every day.
Huh? What?
No, no. Home security systems. This industry wants you to think that they are the only option. Like, this is it. They got hordes of salesmen out there. They're trying to scare you into signing one of those long-term nasty contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month after month. There's no way out. Or is there? By the way, that's kind of robbery in a way, having to sign those big checks, and because they totally you into doing this. It can cost you thousands of dollars, but there is a better way. A simpler way. Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe is no contracts. Boom. None. You get award-winning 24/7 protection, named the best in the industry. Security professionals will be watching you, ready to instantly send the cops. And it's just $14.99 a month. Boom, drop the microphone. That's less than half of what most companies charge. Protect your home in a smart way. I put it up. If I can do it, anybody can. And I'm saying that. It's simple. It's easy. It's amazing. Visit simplysafe.com/Benson to check out their new high-definition camera. Plus, you can get 10% off any order, but that's only at simplysafe.com/Benson. Go to simplysafe.com/Benson now to save. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. What's next for trade and tariffs? As we're hearing all these things, it's the economy. It's the thing that matters. It's next. Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? Tonight he's going to talk about trade. He's going to talk about a lot of things. And trade, why you should pay attention to trade, first and foremost, as consumers and as people who, many of you out there listening right now, have products that travel to other parts of the world. What's next for trade is going to be very interesting. The truth is that I don't think anybody really has an understanding of what potentially could happen with trade, because Trump plays a lot of things loose and fast, but at the same time, he plays some stuff close to the vest. While he says a lot of things, what he says and what he means many times are two different things. The truth is they're talking about this so-called border adjustment tax, which could bring some much-needed relief for some, but at the same time, retaliatory tariffs against our own country and people that we trade with. Well, they're saying, you know, we're looking at a 20% border tax on imports into this country. The hope is the new tax would help mitigate the big boost in the U.S. budget deficit that is expected with the slashing of the corporate tax. Border adjustments is also seen as boosting U.S. exports and manufacturing, but that's only in certain places. Other places, what you're going to find is you're going to find our stuff getting an adjustment, a tariff, a tax. Could potentially be a war. The problem in a lot of ways is we're a consumer nation first anymore. We love to consume, meaning we like stuff cheap and deep. Stock them deep and sell them cheap. That's how we like things. Yes, we want stuff made here, but if it's going to cost us an extra $5 or $10 to have that made here, probably not so much. Especially when I can get it for a dollar, why do I want to pay $5 for it? I think what's next for trade is he's going to negotiate in a much smarter, singular way with each of these nations across the board. Rather than going across, you know, and just blanketly throwing on tariffs and taxes and adjustment taxes, it's going to be out there, and he's going to make smart deals in smart ways because, as he'll tell you, he's a smart guy. That's what smart guys do. And he's going to come at everything as a singular issue rather than a blanket situation. Because what we have done is we've consumed, we've allowed ourselves to get cheap goods, we've played this game, and that has hurt us here. Canada and Mexico are two of our biggest trading partners. They have permission, actually, to impose a retaliatory tariffs on imports from the U.S. to the tune of $1 billion, which comes from a legal action filed with the World Trade Organization in 2015 that hurt foreign companies shipping meat to the U.S. So we will be smart about this. I think what comes next for trade is it's going to be very much a cat and mouse game, that things will be dangled out there. Things will be talked about in certain ways. But when all is said and done, when push comes to shove with this president and his administration, I think he's going to approach each and every single nation that we're going to do big trading with in a way that is going to be beneficial for us, and we'll have some benefits for them, but it no longer will be a one-way street of benefits for one country while us kind of take it in the shorts. That's what's next for trade. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, space is exciting. We haven't explored as much as we should, and darn it, we're going to get out there sooner rather than later. Last week, we've got all these new planets. Now there's a chance we could go to space with SpaceX next year. Two civilians joining us from the Griffith Observatory is Dr. Ed Krupp. He's going to join us. He's the director of the Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles. We're going to talk to him about space exploration, what it means when you find something like this TRAPPIST-1. How big of a deal is it? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. It's Tuesday. We're talking space, baby. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Don't make the happy, and it's never enough. Peel back my skin.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It was a massive story. Some people picked up on it, but not in a way that I think it deserved to be picked up. We found new stuff floating out there in space, far away, TRAPPIST-1 system. Joining us now is the man who is the director, the head guy out there at Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles, Dr. Ed Krupp. I appreciate you coming on today, Doc. How big of a finding is this, realistically? I think it's a huge finding. Some people talked about it last week. We touched on it, but this is massive.
It's probably most massive because of what's coming next, but you're absolutely right. I think most astronomers expected something like this was in the offing and would show up sooner or later, and it's shown up sooner. What we've got is very good evidence there are other solar systems with Earth-sized planets around them, and this kind of star is very commonplace, so the processes are probably also commonplace.
You know, you talk about other solar systems, and for the layperson, for people like us, we get excited because we think we can't be the only ones out there. There's got to be something else. And then we talked a bit last week because they say, you know, three of the seven have the same kind of look like feel Earth size wise, topical, may have a chance to have water on there. So that gets us excited thinking there's other creatures or other beings out there. And of course, you know, Neil Tyson Degrasse ruins it for everybody, as he tends to do. But As a person like you who is researching and you're looking out there in other places, isn't that also somewhat the goal, is to find out if there is something else beyond just us?
You know, I probably disagree to a sense. Certainly, the spirit of your question is correct, and people do wonder. But I think that question, "Are we alone?" is really pretty self-indulgent. And what we're really interested in is, how does the universe work? And one of the remarkable things that is coming out of these discoveries of more and more planets and conditions for life is that life is part of what the universe does. It is, in fact, something that is built into the mechanics. It's not something that's just thrown onto the universe, happens to happen maybe a zillion times or maybe once, and obviously we don't know. It would be just as wild and crazy a universe if we were the only intelligent creatures going at this moment as it would be if the place was filled. And so I don't have an emotional investment in the answer, but I am interested in the idea that this universe seems automatically to create conditions that permit at least very simple life.
Talking to Dr. Ed Krupp, from the director of Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles. As a kid growing up, I went there a lot on school trips and whatnot. When this kind of thing happens, the buzz around the observatory and the science community, do you see that, okay, people are paying attention now? Because a lot of times that's what it takes for people to start paying attention, is a find like TRAPPIST-1 or things like this.
No question, it does stimulate interest, curiosity, and obviously the imaginations of people who are young and thinking about their futures. As something like this is good on all levels, because our whole perspective gets altered. We become new people. We see ourselves in a different way in the universe as a whole. This is something that's been going on as long as people have been people, of course. It really took a turn in 1957 when we first left the Earth and put a satellite into orbit, but then setting foot on the moon, and the whole process continues with our imaginative reach going, in fact, to places that it never went before on the planet. Yeah, it's important, and people do respond to it. And here at the observatory, we regularly make sure that that information is available to people.
You know, when we talk about space and we talk about all these things, you know, and just how far is the moon and this, that, and the other, we were wondering to ourselves, like, how far away is TRAPPIST-1?
Yeah, this place is not close, although on the cosmic scale, you probably would say that it is. It is about 39 light years, with each of those light years equaling about 6 trillion miles. So you can do the math, and it comes out to being a long, long way. There's not a prayer at the present time, or even the near future, of us getting there, actually physically going there. But the idea that there is, in fact, a set of worlds relatively close means that, as we've already seen, we can actually study them. And we're not that far off from being able to examine the atmospheres of worlds around other stars. You know, these 7 worlds around TRAPPIST-1 are really the tip of an iceberg. We already know about 3,500 or more planets around other stars. We've been collecting them, you know, sort of like those signs on how many hamburgers have been sold, and the number just keeps going up.
You know, you talk about it being 39 light years away. Give that to us in Earth years, what it would take for us to travel there in our Pinto if we left today. How long is that going to take us to get there?
You know, that's not math that I can figure out how to do on off the cuff. But if you think about the speed of light, which is the fastest anything can go, that takes about 39 to 40 years to get there. So, in fact, if you said hello by radio, your word wouldn't get out there for another 40 years or so. And, of course, we travel far, far slower than the speed of light. And, in fact, it's just a fraction. So you're not talking about years. You're not talking about decades. You're not talking about centuries. You're talking about a very long time.
Speak for yourself. I am super quick. I don't know if you've watched me chase a donut, but I am very fast. Talking to Dr. Ed Krupp, director of Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles. So, you know, we look out there and we see all of these kind of things and the advancement. Like you said, it would take forever. How about something closer? The chances of us actually in this lifetime getting ourselves to a place like, say, for instance, Mars, because that always seems to be the one that we're always going, we're going to go to Mars. We're going to go to Mars. How realistically in, say, the next decade or two before we decide that we're going to do a manned space travel to Mars?
Well, you just put your finger on the real issue there, which is if we decide. Technologically, it is hard to get to Mars, but is the problem solvable? Sure, it's solvable. And you could do that if you committed resources in a decade or shorter. I have no doubt about that. The question is, can we actually socially, economically, politically do that? And that's a far more difficult question to answer. But we are already on Mars, and we've been on Mars for a terribly long time with robot probes that have told us, in fact, it's actually worthwhile to get there. The Mars is a place where there is a potential, like these planets around TRAPPIST-1, where life may possibly have formed, or at least the conditions have been favorable for it. And as we're trying to understand the universe, you want to look at each and every example you can closely. And so, yeah, we could get to Mars. There are people even talking about getting to the nearest star. It would take several decades, obviously, to do it. But there are people imagining very fast, very small sort of microprobes that head out to Proxima Centauri, where we also know there is a planet going around it.
You know, you said the robots say it's good to come up there. Do we really trust the robots? Because I don't know. I'm hearing AI and these guys. We don't know if we trust these robots, and they may be lying to us, and they may want to eat us when we get there. I'm just saying, Dr. Ed, that's the fear factor about trusting robots.
Yeah, well, I think you're wise to keep your eye on the future, but I have complete confidence in Curiosity, who's doing a fine job on behalf of humanity at the moment.
Talking to Dr. Ed Krupp, from the Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles, and, you know, Dr. Ed, you said something about the political side of getting to a place like Mars, and if we wanted to, the political fight that would go there. What's it like nowadays in the political fight? Because obviously science was very much politicized in the Cold War and even before that in World War II. And now it's politicized in another different way. How do you deal with the politics of science right now and being dragged places when really you just want to do your research?
Well, the fact is that anyone engaged in science has to remember they're not in some isolation cube. They're a part of society. And like any organism, human beings rely on the resources around them, and those resources are finite. And so it's a very natural thing with social creatures such as ourselves that we would argue and debate and consider how, in fact, to use those resources. The answer in this case, though, is we know it's useful to explore. We've found that through all of our history. We have, in fact, found that it's possible to explore and make a buck in space. And I think that's one of the great drivers that's going on here, is that sooner or later, and it looks like sooner, the fact is that people will find ways to make dollars in interplanetary travel. It may be modest, it may be limited, but it will enrich all of us just by the vistas that we see.
And, you know, you talk about making a buck. SpaceX announced yesterday they're going to shoot two people off into space. They're going to orbit the moon. And I asked you before we went on air, would that be something you're interested in? And you said the same thing I did. Yeah, that's a little untested for me. I like a Tesla, but I don't know if I'm really ready for Elon to shoot me off into space. How soon do you think before we have some serious space travel for tourists?
You know, I don't think it's that far off. A year from now, I found a little shocking, but I think that's what the business that Elon Musk is in has a deliberate effort to be a little shocking now and then. And that's not even bad because it keeps things humming. But the fact is, we've already learned from space exploration with the Apollo missions that there's a key rule that you ought to follow, and that is that you have backup. You have a way of dealing with accidents. And in this case, it's hard to say yet what, in fact, is going to be the risk that will be permissible. And I suspect you've got a couple people willing to go no matter what the risk. And that kind of thing has happened in the past as well. I mean, people set out in open boats across the oceans, little able to assess the real risk. And that kind of thing can happen again. But I think for most people, if you're thinking about commercial tourism in space, well, we're still a ways off on that because you need the reliability of those rockets. And those rockets look like they're very ordinary, that you just press a button, they go off. But every time you send off a rocket, I mean, that is a powerful explosion sustained for a period of time with a million things that can go wrong. And it's remarkable that we've been as good at it as we have.
Talking to Dr. Ed Krupp, director of Griffith Observatory in L.A. Last question, I'll let you go. Do you get a lot more chicks now that the Big Bang Theory has become huge and sapiosexuals and the nerd-like engineering science people have become sex symbol? Do you get a lot more girls just ogling over your big brains?
You know, I am so dedicated to my studies that I'm completely unable to answer that question just being oblivious to the world around me.
Dr. Ed Krupp, director of Griffith Observatory in L.A., appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so much. You're actually very entertaining. Sometimes you get some of these scientists and you get some of these people and you're like, oh, my God, you were great. I appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so much.
Thanks an awful lot. Bye-bye.
Telling you, man, big brain, sapiosexuals. We get all the chicks. I'm just kidding. I'm just totally lying. It's usually just, you know, chloroform. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You can also call the program always 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? Hey, do you have a skill? Especially in the world of computers? Things like that. Don't even matter. New Zealand wants you. New Zealand is begging Americans, come out here. Get out there. Come on out. Yeah, you're going to like it. It's going to love it. It's New Zealand. That's right. New Zealand is doing all they can to get people to come out there. Some people, they say Americans, especially after the election, who bombarded the website for Immigration New Zealand, almost 60,000 visits in 24 hours. The average day is about 23,000, but they are doing all they can. And in fact, they're doing it in such a way that they may even be willing to help you move out there. What? The joke is called Silicon Welly instead of Silicon Valley because they have a lot of upward mobility in the world of computing, if you will. But if you're looking, you can go to Immigration New Zealand and check it out. They said the goal to recruit 100 talented technology candidates from across the globe with a focus on the United States. The program arranged meetings with prospective employers who have roles to match candidates and skills. They want to bring people there who can add and help them grow their Silicon Valley type-like world. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, but I would. You know what? If I'm 25 and I'm... We talked today about these tech kids that are struggling in just outside of San Francisco in Silicon Valley who are paying in excess of $1,500 to $2,000 a month to sleep on a bunk bed. Some people that are making in excess of $700,000 a year and still cannot afford to find anywhere decent to live out there. And you're like, oh my God, trust me. You know, it sounds great, but the thought process of making $250,000 a year and you're like, wow, it's all relative. If you can't afford to live, then who cares, right? I mean, if you live in New York City and you make $100,000 a year, you think, wow, I've never made $100,000 a year. That's amazing. And then you find out that you have to live, you know, 2 hours away just to get someplace decent because it's so ridiculously expensive. Well, times that by a billion when you think about a place like, you know, Silicon Valley, where a room in some houses, a room is a closet. So they've got a closet and they're renting the closet out as a room and people are paying $2,000 a month for it. One guy lives 20 minutes away from work if it was just by himself driving to and fro every day with nobody really in front of him, average traffic. It takes him almost 3 hours to get to work. He lives inside of a garage and hasn't used a toilet, a regular toilet at home. He has a compost toilet is what he uses. He makes $200,000 a year. How's that for a life? But that's where it all happens. But if you had a chance to go to New Zealand, you're 25, 26, they're going to help you move there. They're going to pay you a couple hundred grand a year, and you're going to have a better quality of life and still be in the tech industry in a place that's booming or at least trying to become booming. And why would you not think about that? Why would you not? I love the thing. Aren't we always told the thing about computers is you can do it from anywhere? Why do I have to do it from here? It sounds great. It sounds exciting. It sounds amazing. And you're making all this money and you think, but if you're going there and you're not the entrepreneur, then just working for $100,000 to $200,000 a year to live in a place that you can barely afford. Some of these places, these people rent out places, right? And they'll have five or six people in a room that are paying $1,500 a month and they're sleeping on bunk beds. And it's a 24-hour cycle. So they're, you know, because you can come and go as you please in a lot of these places. So you've got in excess probably 15 people living in a house, all of which are making $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. So you've got about $4 or $5 million of salary inside of a house, and they're sleeping on bunk beds. That doesn't sound exciting. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. We're about an hour or so away from Trump speaking to a joint session tonight. Congress, you sit down. They're going to listen to what he has to say. Going to talk about a lot of stuff, lay a lot of stuff out. Now we're hearing there may be some flexibility in immigration, obviously trade, healthcare, and of course the economy are going to be front and center, as well as the budget that's getting ready to be unleashed on America. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.